History is filled with stories of people escaping from tyranny or disaster, physically escaping, that is, leaving. But during the Great Depression in the 1930s, people couldn't leave. They were out of work, poor, stuck at home. So they found other ways to escape, through culture, through jigsaw puzzles, for example, which had first been mass-produced around then and which sold in the tens of millions in 1933. Through the board game Monopoly, which landed in 1935 in a country obsessed with money and property and loss. A new thing, escapism, was said to have begun in the 30s, what with leisure time and technology, which had opened the way for radio and talking pictures.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
But was it escapist, really?
Clearly, that existed, but it coexisted with a lot of pop culture that wasn't that way at all.
Writer and television producer Frank Rich.
Witness Steinbeck, for instance, or witness Clifford Odets in WPA Theater.
John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath, Clifford Odets' 1935 family drama Awaken Sing. Those represented the more serious side of things, but it was all popular. Just the kind of popular culture, Brown University's Susan Smullyan believes, that people consciously used during the Great Depression.
I think people watched it very knowingly.
And of course, it's still where we go instinctively during crises and hard times to help work things out, she says.
I don't mean that it isn't fun. It's always fun. And that's why it's a good place to do it.
Seems as if the dark things may be even more useful to us than the light, or just dark enough to connect to the times we're in. That was also true during and after World War II. My mind goes right to the best years of our lives, the William Wyler film from 1946, really a post-crisis film about soldiers returning from World War II and the struggle to get back to some semblance of normal life, something that preoccupies many of us right now. In Best Years, the question of how to re-enter society is looked at from every angle. Financial problems and deeply personal ones, as well as traumatic aftershocks and nightmares suffered by veterans.
Hey, you guys, jump! Get out of there, bail out!
Plenty of darkness there. With reassurance on the other side of it.
It's all right, Fred. Go back to sleep. Go back to sleep.
Smullyan says it was really during this period, the war years and after, that a relationship between popular culture and America as a country was forged, a partnership of sorts.
Many of the leaders of cultural organizations, so the heads of NBC and then all the way down to the writers of sitcoms, went to work for the government.
They planned and worked together to put plenty of information into radio programs and movies, things they believed would help mobilize and inspire people during and after the war.
And that connection never gets broken. It had been there before, but it gets really strongly made.
And now, what's helping us work things out when we can no longer stand or even understand the current reality? There's not much being produced right now, save for some briefings. So where do we go? Back to classic American mixtures, perhaps, of dark and light.
I'm really on the hunt for emotional engagement.
Maybe looking for things that ring true in some way. Frank Rich mentions a light film that is very dark, Rear Window from the 50s.
Which is explicitly about being trapped at home and not being able to go out.
James Stewart is a photographer who broke his leg on assignment and is stuck in a Greenwich Village apartment, peering at a possibly murderous neighbor across the way.
In the whole courtyard, only one person didn't come to the window. Look.
And there's something about it I found very life-affirming because, of course, Stewart ultimately does triumph over the circumstances of weeks and weeks of confinement at home. That gave me a certain pleasure.
He's also thinking about a product of the turbulent 1960s, 2001, A Space Odyssey, another mixture.
On one hand, it's this sci-fi adventure story of conquering time and space in the future. At the same time, it was very much a look at the present.
It can only be attributable to human error.
It captures a certain kind of alienation, corporate dystopia, if you will, a kind of shutdown of human communication as we know it.
We're in the money. We're in the money. And talk about mixing light and dark. At the moment, I'm stuck in the 1930s, where the whole idea of so-called escapism in popular culture really originated. The Busby Berkeley movie Gold Diggers of 1933 has plenty of pure tinsel, chorus girls dancing with giant golden coins. But if you stay with it, it turns out at the end of the movie, a number called Remember My Forgotten Man comes at you like a rocket.
Remember my forgotten man?
Joan Blondell lighting a cigarette, leaning against a lamppost.
You put a rifle in his hand.
With Etta Mouton singing.
You sent him far away, you shouted here for air, but look at him today. Remember my forgotten man.
Suddenly, deep German expressionist-style darkness in considering how the man's role as breadwinner and the woman for whom he may have been winning the bread were affected by the state of things. Even the Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers movies, for instance, still served a function beyond mere escapism. They could sweep you away, but even more, they offered beleaguered Americans a shared experience of something dazzlingly, beautifully executed by performers in perfect harmony and with magical technique. They offered human connection in the shared appreciation of that. And that's a lot. So the dark and the light of the past help us through our own time. And the reverse is also true. Our own experience can give us a greater understanding of what they felt back then, especially when our precious control is lost.
I understand the depression in a new way. It's hard to get up every morning and face this.
Whatever we may be looking for, those of us lucky enough to have access to generations of popular culture productions are looking at them very knowingly once again. It's Fishko Files. I'm Sarah Fishko.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.